My brothers and sisters, I believe all of the readings today remind us of a life of prayer, a life of making the Lord our first and foremost priority. Why? Because we are easily distracted by the things of this world. We are being pulled apart, and we are people that tend to focus on what's happening next. What is in it for me? What do I need to do? Always on the move. But yet the first reading from the first book of Kings give us this beautiful example what it means to pray. When the prophet Elijah was on the mountain, escaping from his own persecutor, was fearful, thinking that he had nothing left to turn to in his own crisis, the good Lord came and spoke to him. However, how did he speak to the prophet? Not in a strong and heavy wind, not in an earthquake, not in a fire, but in a tiny whispering sound. God speaks to us in a very real, personal, and intimate way. He does speak, but we are oftentimes too busy, too noisy, or too distracted to listen to him. We come to prayers with a laundry list of things that we want, things to do, or we rush through prayers that we no longer have time to listen to him. In recent days, one of my brother priests, when I went to confession with him, shared with me his secret in receiving life as a parish priest. And he told me this. He said, "Father, people demand a lot of us, and they come to us broken, hurt. And it will take a lot of energy, a lot of effort, a lot of care, and it can take the best out of us. Therefore, do not be afraid to come to the crying chamber, to the resting room." And he was referring to the small chapel in his rectory. He called it his crying chamber, his resting room. This is where he comes to rest, come to pray, and come to cry when it's so hard. When people misunderstand him, and when people become so demanding. We all need a resting room and a crying chamber to come to rest and to cry our heart out to the good Lord and to learn to listen to him. Listening to the good Lord is so important because we like to talk, or we become so distracted by the things of this world that we get battered down, that we think God doesn't care anymore. He doesn't love us. What happened when those things going on around us? We lose hope, we lose faith, and we stop practicing charity because we impose pities upon ourselves and think how miserable our life is. But yet we forget that the good Lord is always with us. Today, in the gospel reading, St. Peter sank down to the sea when he lost focus on the good Lord. When he was terrified. And that's why he sunk. But guess what the good Lord said? "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Afraid. We cannot be afraid, my brothers and sisters, because this life will always try to lie, try to manipulate, and try to distract us away from him. But guess what? The image of the good Lord walking on top of the rough sea calls us back to that moment of Genesis, when he created the world and he brought everything into order. The first chapter of Genesis itself, the Spirit of God hover above the water, bringing everything to peace, everything to purpose. The water, especially the sea, was a very scary thing for the ancient people. Heck, as a matter of fact, right now, we don't know a lot about our ocean, our water body. And when the storm gets hit, we begin to realize how small we are in comparison to the water body. And so, therefore, water is that force of chaos, that raw piece of nature that reminds us how tiny, how little we are, how chaotic life can be. And when chaos, when struggle, when things get hard, we sink. We sink down because our heart gets heavy and we are filled with fears and reservations and we feel like we have nothing else to hold on to. But the good Lord said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." When we doubt, we sink. When we get too busy, we sink. When we become too distracted with the things of this world, we sink, because we have nothing else to anchor ourselves on, nothing else to hold on to, nothing else to help us in the midst of the chaos. All the readings today remind us that God is above all these elements. He's above all of the things that fall apart. And we have to fix our eyes on Him and reach out our hands to Him so that He can heal us, that He can help us, that He can draw us out from the chaos and into order. And it requires us to have that humility to let go in order to find time to come to the crying chamber and to the resting room. How often do you pray, my brothers and sisters? Or you only pray when you need something, when everything else fails? I'll give you an image of how many times you should pray today. A door, in order for it to be at least effective, need to have two hinges, right? One on the bottom, one on the top. Two hinges. It allowed the door to close and open. So we too need to pray at least two times a day so that we can learn to close the door on things that are distractive, things that do not come from God. Close the door so that we can learn to rest in Him. And then learn to open the door to the good Lord so He can speak to us. Go into our private chamber so we can cry and rest, receive, and listen to Him. How many times do you pray a day? And when you and I pray, do we have time in silence to listen to Him or not? This is my invitation for you as we contemplate on the readings today. The collect or the opening prayer is so beautiful, my brothers and sisters. It said, "Almighty ever-living God, whom taught by the Holy Spirit, we dare to call our Father. Bring, we pray, to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption at your sons and daughters, that we may merit to enter into the inheritance which you have promised. Through the power and working of the Holy Spirit, we become more Christ-like each day, so that we can call God our Father. Through the power and working of the Holy Spirit, we dare to call God our Father, the one who loves us, the one who cares for us, and the one who wants to show us life beyond the chaos, beyond the apparent things, beyond what we think we want right now, for the ultimate journey, for the true inheritance of the heavenly homeland that's waiting for us. How are we preparing for that, my brothers and sisters? And how are we becoming more Christ-like each day? Learn from the good Lord Jesus that in the midst of His ministry, in the midst of being busy trying to heal people and trying to love them and trying to preach the gospel, he still took time to pray. We must be like Jesus in finding time to go into the desert, into a silent place to pray. Learn to listen, because without listening, we have nothing to give. Without listening, we cannot love the good Lord. And without listening, what else can we offer to this world? We are already given this love. Let us always learn to make time first, so that God is our first or foremost, our everything.